A long time ago, in the time of the Alter Rebbe, there were two tailors. Now, a tailor is a man that makes clothes, suits, or pants, or jackets, or he fixes clothes, or he makes new clothes. This is a tailor. Now, these two tailors, let's call them Reuven and Shimon, they were good friends. They worked together. They had a little store. They had sewing machines, even though they weren't electric. In those days, they had different kinds of machines that weren't electric, but they worked them maybe with their feet or maybe cranking them in certain ways. And they had needles and threads, and they had scissors, and they had material, or people brought them in the material. And these tailors worked together, fixing clothes, sometimes making clothes. Sometimes people brought them in the material to make things, and sometimes ladies brought material to make dresses. They knew how to make dresses. And they worked, and they made money for their families. Each one was married, and they had kinderlach. So of course they have to buy food for the families and things for the kinderlach. And this is the way things went in their town. In the morning they went to shul and they davened in the same minyan and they learned Torah together and then they went to work together and they worked the whole day. They worked very hard because they had kinanahar, a lot of kinderlach, and they had to send the kiddies to yeshiva and they had to buy things and for their wives and to give tzedakah. And this is the way life was. And when they closed up the little store at night, they went to daven Mincha, and they went to Davin Ma'ariv, and they went home, and they were friends. But kinalach, there's different kinds of times. There came a time that people didn't come so much to the little store. They didn't order clothes, or they didn't bring clothes to fix, and ladies didn't bring material to make dresses. The business was going down, and they were not making as much money as before. And their families were getting bigger, and they needed more money. And sometimes things got a little bit more expensive. They needed more money, and they were making less money. What are they going to do? They worked from morning till night, and after a while, they did not have enough money for their families. So Reuven and Shimon decided they're going to go away, and they're going to work out of that town, in a different town. They'll go to a different place, and maybe in that different place they'll have a better mazel. Sometimes a person changes his place and the mazel gets better. It says, Mishana Makim, Mishana Mazel. You change your place, you have a better mazel sometimes. And they will send home money for their families, or they'll bring it home when they come home. And so Reuven and Shimon, they packed up their needles and their threads and some of their sewing machine things that they had and their tools and their scissors. And of course, they packed up their talis and tefillin. And they didn't have to take food with them because in the next town there was plenty of kosher food. There were yidden there. They traveled to the next town and they went to the shul. They put up a sign, Reuven and Shimon, the tailors, are here. Anybody who needs to fix his pants or who wants a new suit or if a lady wants a dress, Reuven and Shimon are here and we are expert tailors. We are very good tailors. And they found a little store to rent and they set up their business over there. And Baruch Hashem, they were matzliach, they had business. And when they had money, they brought some money for their families. And it was very good. Now, kinalach, in the second town, in other words, not their hometown, but the other town they went, after they worked for a while, also business stopped. Because whoever had things to fix, it was fixed already. Whoever needed clothes, they had their clothes already. So Reuven and Shimon decided they'll go to another town. Because this is a very good way. They go to different towns, they'll make money, and they'll either send it to their families or bring it. And this is what they did. They went from town to town. Sometimes they stayed for a week, sometimes 2 weeks, sometimes a month. And they would give the money for their families. One time they decided they're going to go far, far away on a big trip, and they're going to be away for a long time, maybe even a whole year. And they'll go traveling far away from town to town, and they won't come back each time, but they'll come back only after a whole year is up, and they'll bring big bags of money to their families. And this time they took all their things for their tailor things, and they took their talis and tefillin, and they took some sfarim with them, and they took a whole bunch of kosher food because they're going to go far, far away to far away places. Who knows if there'll be kosher bakeries over there or kosher food. And now they started traveling in far away places, setting up their sign, Reuven and Shimon are here, and doing their tailoring. And sometimes they went to places that were so far away, there weren't any Yidden there, just Goyim. There wasn't any Jewish neighborhood, no shul, there wasn't any kosher food. Kinaloth, after a while, traveling around these places, never going to shul, Shabbos, they were just alone in some little room somewhere, in some little hotel, and they started finishing their kosher food. And now, after a while, traveling far away, not having new kosher food, they just had to get whatever kosher food they can get. So they got apples and bananas and raw nuts. And they drank water, oranges, grapefruits. What else could they get? Sometimes they went to the river and tried to catch a fish, but it took too long because then they weren't working with their tailoring. And after a while, they started getting very, very hungry. Because all they were eating was fruit and nuts. How long can a person go eating fruit and nuts? Working a whole day. And one day, Kindalach, Reuven and Shimon walked by a Goyisha restaurant. And they smelled the food. And at first they said, yuck, ugh, treif. Who wants to even smell it? The yuck. And they would go on the other side of the street. They didn't want to smell the food. But after a while, becoming so hungry and working so hard, the food started smelling different. And little voices came into their heads. Go eat the nice warm food. Look at the goyim in the restaurant. They're eating good meat. And they're eating potatoes and bread and delicious cakes and pies and vegetables and salads. And what are you eating? Grapefruits and bananas. Go into the restaurant and have a good hot meal. It's cold outside and you're starving. After a while, Kindalach, they could not fight the voices in their heads and the hunger in their stomachs. And they went into the restaurant. And they ordered a big meal. And at first they ate it and they started to feel sick because they knew it wasn't kosher and they never did this before. But after a few times they got used to it and they went back to their hotel and they put their hands on their heads. What do we do? What do we do? We're eating non-kosher food. And they felt the yarmulkes on their heads. How could we go into a restaurant and eat that food and wear yarmulkes? And the little voices said, so take off the yarmulkes. They listened to little voices and they took off the yarmulkes. They put it in their pockets. And as they reached in their pockets, they saw the tzitzis. And the little voice said, how can you go without a yarmulke wearing tzitzis? And they took off the tzitzis. And then the next morning, they took out the talis and tefillin. And the little voice said, how can you put on talis and tefillin if you're not wearing a yarmulke and not tzitzis and you go to a restaurant and eat not kosher food? That day, they didn't put on the talis and the tefillin. And they didn't daven. And so bislach, little by little, they went away from Torah and mitzvahs. Because never saw other Yidden. Nobody was there to help them, to give them chizuk, to give them strength. And they were only listening to those little voices from the Yetzirah. And so Bislach, they went completely away from Torah and Mitzvahs. And they were working for the Goyim, even on Shabbos, because the Goyim would come to them on Shabbos. Until after a year, they made a lot of money traveling from town to town. But Kindalach, they no longer kept Torah and Mitzvahs. And so, at the end of the year, they decided, it's time to go back to our families. Let's take our big bags of money that we got. And we'll go back to our families and we'll give them all the money that we made. They'll be so happy with all the money that we made from the whole year traveling around and working. And they traveled back and it took many days. And they were going from place to place. And one night they came to a little town. It was called Piena. And in this town, they were looking for a hotel to sleep overnight because they would sleep every night in a different hotel. This was a little town and there was no hotel. They could not find the hotel and they were tired and they were hungry. So they decided, you know what we'll do? We'll find a house with a light on and we'll go ask the person in the house if we could stay in their house and eat in their house. And we'll pay the money. And maybe the person will let us stay in the house like a hotel. We'll pay the money. So they found a nice house in the town. The light was on. They knocked on the door. And a man came to the door. And he looked at them very closely in their faces. Yes, can I help you? Well, we are two tailors and we're traveling home. And we need a place to sleep overnight, and we're very hungry, and we see there's no hotel in this town. So we were wondering if we could please stay in your house, and we'll pay you money, and if we could also eat in your house, because we're so hungry. And the man looks at them and he says, wait a minute. You two men, you look to me like you're Jewish. Are you Jewish men? Well, yeah, we're Jewish. So the man says, you wouldn't eat in my house because I know Jews do not eat meat and food that's not kosher. I'm not Jewish, and in my house, there's no kosher food, so I'm sorry, I don't think I can help you. And the two tailors said, don't worry, we'll eat the food in your house, even though it's not kosher, we'll eat it. Don't worry, your meat we'll eat and whatever else you have, and we'll pay you for it. And the man by the door looked them very closely in the faces. And slowly he nodded. He says, okay, you can come into my house. He let them in. And he brought them into a room. And he said, sit down. I'll get your rooms ready. And I'll fix you food. They sat down in the room. There were two chairs. And as the man left the room, they heard the door close, and they heard the door lock. They said, that's funny. Why did he lock the door to the room? They began feeling a little bit uncomfortable. Why did he lock the door? I mean, what for? Okay, who knows why he locked the door? After all, it's his house. He can do what he wants. But they began to feel a little bit uncomfortable. A few minutes later, the door opened again, and the man came in. This time, he looked very, very mean, and he was holding a big knife. And the two tailors, they got very afraid because the look in his face, the look in his eyes, and the big knife was scary. And he says to them, give me your money. Take out your money. They said, what do you mean, what money? What are you talking about? We'll pay you. We said we're going to pay you for the room and for the food. And he says, I don't mean that. I mean the money you're carrying. Because after all, you're traveling, you're working, I'm sure you have money. Now give me the money. And he sticks the knife at them. He was a big man. They felt they couldn't all of a sudden do anything to him because he had a big knife and he was a big man. And they said, the money, we worked so hard for our families for a whole year. Please, we have children, we have families, we have wives, we have to buy food and clothes. A whole year's work, it's the money we have. Don't take the money from us. And he was such a mean-looking man, and he says, give me the money now, or else I'm going to use this knife. And it's not going to be for salami either, it's going to be for something else. And they got scared. They reached into their coats, and each one pulled out his big bag of money. And the man with the knife took away the money. And he says, that's good, but we're not finished yet. Because now you're going to both have to die. And they said, but you took our money already. Let us go home to our families. Our children need us and our wives need us. We haven't seen them for a whole year. And the man says, I can't let you go home. Because if you go home, you'll tell the police. And the police will come to my house. And they'll get me in trouble. This way, nobody will ever know you came here. It's the middle of the night. Nobody sees that you came here. And you'll just disappear and nobody will know what happened to you. And that way I won't get in trouble and I'll have all of your money. So prepare to die. No, please let us go. And the man says, in 5 minutes, I'm going to come back into this room and that's going to be the end of you. I will give you 5 minutes, the last 5 minutes of your lives. And that's going to be it. And I will not change my mind. He went out of the room with the bags of the money. He locked the door. And they heard outside a few locks locking the door from the outside. And the two tailors, Reuven and Shimon, they looked around for a window. There was no window. They looked for a way to get out of the room. There was no way out of the room. It was a closed up room without any windows, without any way out. And they saw that there was no way to escape. And they started to cry, oy vey, look at the trouble we're in. And they started to say, why are we such trouble now? Why did this happen to us? And Reuven says, Shimon, don't you see what we've been doing the last few months? We used to daven. We used to go to shuls and eat kosher food and keep Shabbos and wear tzitzis and yarmulkes and learn Torah together and say Tehillim and give tzedakah. And little bit by little bit, we stopped doing all those things for Hashem. We've gone away from Hashem. We haven't even thought too much about Hashem, only about money and only about working. And we haven't thought about what to do for Hashem. Hashem is punishing us for what we did. Oh, Hashem knows about this. Look what we've done. We brought it upon ourselves. It's our fault. If only we would have gone with Hashem's Torah and mitzvahs, this wouldn't have happened. And now it's too late. And Shimon says to Reuven, didn't we learn it's never too late? Didn't we learn that we can always do tshuva? All right, let's do tshuva. Let's both do tshuva. Whatever we could do. Hashem, please help us. And they both said, Hashem, if you let us out of here, if you help us, we'll do a complete tshuva. We'll go back to be from a yidin. We'll wear yarmulkes and tzitzis. We'll only eat kosher. We'll learn Torah. We'll daven. We'll say Tehillim. Well, chas v'shalom, never do anything wrong again. We'll only do what you want us to do. We're sorry, we're sorry. We'll listen to our yitzhara. Please, Hashem. For the sake of our kindalach, our babies, the wives. Please, let us go home. And then, kindalach, they heard the locks unlocking outside. And they covered their eyes because they knew the big man with the big knife is coming back. And they clubbed their eyes and said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And they prepared to die. And all of a sudden, kinalach, as the man came in, they were so scared they didn't want to look. Their eyes were still closed after they said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And they prepared for what was going to happen. They waited, nothing happened. They waited another few seconds. They were shaking, nothing happened. They didn't hear a sound. They didn't feel anything. No knives, no nothing. All of a sudden they heard a voice. Sit down, relax, take it easy, eat something. What? Sit down, relax, take it easy, eat something. What are we dreaming or something? They open up their eyes, they see the man. He's standing there smiling. He's holding a tray. In the tray is kosher food. And they look at the man. There's no knife. He looks like a nice man now. He puts the tray down. They realize that this is actually food that they could eat. How the man got it, they have no idea. Is this a joke? What's going on over here? What's going on? They sat down. They were too nervous to eat. But they said to the man, tell us, what are you doing? What's going on over here? The man said, you should know something before I tell you this story. You Jews have a very great Hashem, and you Jews have very great tzaddikim. That's one thing that even I realize, and I'm not Jewish. You have a great Hashem, and you have great tzaddikim. Of course, Reuben and Shimon felt very fashemt, because here they're two Jews, and they went away from Torah mitzvahs, and here a goy is telling them that they have a great Hashem and great tzaddikim. And the goy says, a few weeks ago, it was the night, all of a sudden I also heard a knock on the door, and outside the door was a very holy looking rabbi with a white beard, and he had a stick, and he also asked me if he can come in. And I asked him, who are you? There are no Jews in this town. And he says, my name is the Alter Rebbe. I'm running away from a very, very wicked general who's chasing after me, and his name is Napoleon. He's chasing after me, and since he's a very, very big general, and he's also a witch, this Napoleon, besides being a general, was also a witch. I had to leave my home, and I had to go away. And now it's the middle of the night. I don't feel well. And I need a place to stay. The man says, I let the Alter Rebbe in. I let him stay in my house. He was not feeling well. He was very old. And from running away, he was not feeling well. He stayed in my house. And just a few days ago, the Alter Rebbe passed away in my house. The Alter Rebbe died in the Goy's house in Vienna. Just a short time ago, the Alter Rebbe passed away in this house where you are. And before he passed away, he called me in and he said, first of all, I want to thank you very much for having me in your house. But I want to tell you a very, very important thing that I'm hoping you will do. Someday, there's going to come to your house two people that you could help very much. You could help these two people very, very much to come close to Hashem. And the goy said, yes, the Alter Rebbe, how can I help two Jews come close to Hashem? I mean, I would love to do something for you, Rabbi. I would love to help also your people. But what can I, as a non-Jew, do to help two Jews come close to Hashem? The Alter Rebbe says, one thing, remember. If two people come to your house and they look Jewish, if their faces look Jewish, even though they're not dressed Jewish, even if they're not wearing yarmulkes, if you scare them, if you scare them with a big scare, just know you're going to help these two men come back to Hashem, and that's exactly what they need. And so the goy said, I don't want to scare people. The Alter Rebbe said, just know, this is exactly what they need, and if only you will scare them for their life, this is what these two people are going to need. Please do that, and you'll help two Jews, and that way you'll also do something to make me very happy. And the goy said to the Alter Rebbe, for you I'll do it. And so the Alter Rebbe passed away in the goy's house in Piena. And after that, as we see in the Maise, two Yidden came to the goy's house. He recognized that these are two Yidden. He could tell from their faces. He remembered what the Alter Rebbe said. He scared them for their life. Not because Chas V'Shalom he was mean and he wanted to scare them. Only he was listening to the Alter Rebbe and he was doing what the Alter Rebbe said. And he asked the two Yidden, Reuven and Shimon, let me ask you, did my scare help? They said, yes, because we decided to come back to Hashem. We went away from Hashem and we decided to come back to Hashem. Thank you, you really did help us because we made hachlatos toiveis, we made good decisions and we're going to stick to them. And so, yes, the goy gave them back the money and he let them stay overnight. They ate the kosher food that he had prepared because he knew someday after the scare he wants to give these Jews kosher food. He's hoping that if they come back to Hashem they'll do it right away and they're not going to eat the treifa food in his house. So he had even kosher food prepared in his house. And the next morning, Reuven and Shimon, they woke up and they put back on their yarmulkes. They put back on their tzitzis. They davened that morning. They took back out their talis and tefillin. They davened with all their heart. They did tshuva. And they went back to their families. And Baruch Hashem, they lived the rest of their lives as from a yidden, doing even more tzedakah than before and more avodas zarah than before. And they did tshuva. And that is the Maaseh Kinelach for today. Once a long time ago, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a faraway land, a Goyish land called Ludkia, or Lodkia. We'll call it Ludkia. Now, Kinelach, one day, people went out shopping in Ludkia. What kind of things they shopped for in those days? Probably much the same as now. But one thing they used to probably use a lot more was olive oil. Because in those days, they didn't have electric lights. They had to have olive oil burning in the house or wherever they went for light. In nighttime, they had olive oil burning. Not just for Shabbos licht, and not just for Chanukah licht, but they used to use it every day. Also for cooking, and also for shmearing. Olive oil was a thing that they used to have a lot of use for. So one day people went shopping, they needed oil for the houses, for lights, for cooking, for shmearing. They went to the store, excuse me, I need a good bottle of olive oil. And the man says, sorry, all out, no olive oil, we've run out. When are you getting in new olive oil? I don't know. Well, the man leaves and he goes to try another store. Goes down the block, another store is over there. I need olive oil. I need the light in my house. It's dark. The man says, sorry, no olive oil. Nobody knows when we're getting more because even the place we get it from, they say they're out. People are going from store to store to get olive oil. Nobody has olive oil. People go home at night, the houses are dark because they have nothing to burn for their lights. Now they have to cook. In those days they didn't have margarine like we have nowadays. They used to cook with olive oil. And if you don't use oil when you cook, things burn. And people had supper and it was burnt and it didn't taste good. And they start complaining that this is burnt and that's burnt and this doesn't taste good and that doesn't taste good because it needs oil. And the people of Lutkia, they were very upset. We need olive oil. What are we going to do? And one day goes by, and 2 days, and a week, and 2 weeks, and there's no olive oil anywhere. And even in the fields, there are olive trees. They were not getting oil. Maybe they had no rain or whatever it was. For some reason, from Lodki itself, they were having no oil. They were getting no oil there. Or maybe they didn't have trees. The story doesn't say. So they made a big meeting, and they decided, since everyone needs olive oil, everybody needs it, they are going to now get, for everyone together, a whole shipment of olive oil. They chose one man, and they said, you, we're going to send outside of Latkia to a faraway land, wherever you can go, or maybe a nearby land, wherever you can go, and you're going to take money, a lot of money, and everybody gave him money that they are going to get, they're going to give him to get olive oil for them. And they put all the money together in a suitcase, and it was full of money. And you go as a shliach for us to get olive oil for the whole country. And then everyone will have lights in their house, and they'll have oil to use for cooking and for baking and for shmiring.